Countrywide on RTE Radio 1.
So following up in many respects on the conversation that we just had with Eddie Burgess there, the question arises, how resilient are Irish farms to what is coming, to what is ahead? Now, there's one way of answering that question, and that is to talk to the people who are providing banking services to Irish farms. I'm joined in studio by Owen Lowry, Head of the Agri Sector, Bank of Ireland, Donal Welton, Head of Agri-Food and Fisheries at AIB, and Therese Conway, CEO of Cavan Credit Union. Good morning to all of you and thank you very much for coming in. Can I, because I don't want to start from the point of view of making incorrect assumptions here, can I ask you, Owen, first of all, please, about the extent of indebtedness on Irish farms. How leveraged are they and how healthy a position are they to, say, 20, 25 years ago?
Good morning, Philip. I suppose farming has come into and is 2024 in a really, really strong position in terms of its level of indebtedness. What we've seen over the last decade is a significant pay down of farm debt, where farmers have been paying off debt at a faster rate than they've been taking out new debt. And that's led to a position that right now on farms, we've about 2.8 billion sitting out there on, with loans with farmers, which is the lowest level of debt in 25 years. And I think that makes Irish agriculture and gives Irish agriculture a great competitive advantage.
We also have less farms than we would have had 25 years ago. So what's the individual level of indebtedness on farms like?
So if we look at the Tagus National Farm Survey, we can see that about a third of farmers have debt, and the average level of debt on farms is in around 40, 50,000 euros. So that's a low level of debt. There's a huge range in that level, obviously, with the majority of farmers probably having debt levels. If we look at the dairy sector, it has about 100,000 is the average debt level on dairy farms. But you have to remember that the level of debt has fallen at a time of significant expansion of the agricultural sector.
So how, in your opinion, Donal, does farming and its level of indebtedness compare to other sectors of the economy?
Good morning, Philip, and thanks for having me on. And I suppose to follow on what we just discussed there, I suppose another key statistic of the agricultural sector is that 2/3 of farmers actually have no debt. And when you compare that to other SME sectors, it positions itself very, very well. And I suppose when we look at our international competitors and you look at the level of debt on farming, we just take the dairy farming, for example, the average debt on farm is in the region of maybe 1,100 to 1,200 euros per cow. And you compare that to some of our international counterparts where you can see debt levels such as the Danes and the Dutch of maybe 8 to 10 and even sometimes up to 20,000 euros per cow. So significantly different levels of debt and significantly competitive advantage.
Okay. 2/3 debt-free, that's a really impressive figure. But is that concentrated in areas like beef and smaller suckler farmers, whereas in dairy there might be a higher level of debt?
You're correct. I think by maybe 2/3 of dairy farmers have debt. But again, as I say, that level of debt is very sustainable at 1,100 to 1,200 euros borrowings per cow. When we look at the dry stock sector, less than a quarter of beef farmers have debt, and the average level of debt on a beef farm is in the region of 20-25 thousand euros. So again, very, very sustainable.
Okay, Therese Conway, because you have a loan, maximum loan level of 75 grand, people are not going to be coming to you to build a milking parlour. They're going to be looking for farm equipment and so on. But what is your understanding or your picture of the level of indebtedness?
Good morning, Philip. Yes, well, it'd be a very modest milking parlour under 75,000. Yeah, I suppose it's a broad range. Primarily, I suppose credit unions, you know, were established a long time in Ireland, 60 years, and we'd be seen as traditional, as indeed farming is traditional. And, you know, I think we're seen as an alternative and an addition to the banks for our farming members. And the Cultivate loan was designed with that farmer's needs in mind. So there's a broad range as to why members are coming into us, primarily working capital. 30% of our lending, like there has been a trend that it has been for stocking loans and working capital. Then, as you say, it'll be modest work improvement to lands, to farm buildings, farm equipment, tractors or that. So it's a broad range.
In the main, have they gone to their bank for the slurry tank loan and then they come to you for the piece of equipment?
If it's new equipment, it will often be finance. And yes, the majority of our members would also have banking loans or be working with their bank and will come to the credit union for a specific project that they feel that Cultivate suits.
Okay. Owen, what did the weather do to productivity?
Yeah, it's been a particularly challenging year almost for farmers since last July. And that was really aggravated, I suppose, over the winter months, particularly from and across all farming sectors, whether it was tillage farmers who could not get crops into the ground in the autumn. We saw poor growing conditions over the winter and then a delayed spring sowing season. Similarly, on livestock enterprises, there was a late turnout onto grass. There was increased feed and fodder costs over the winter months. So the impact of all of that from a financial perspective was that the costs of production went up on livestock farms because the need to purchase additional feed. And on tillage farms, I suppose that potential for a drop in yield and performance. So I suppose what we saw over the last number of months was an increased demand on working capital. And I suppose we reacted to that very, very quickly in terms of providing additional working capital facilities to support farmers through that challenging time.
Long story short, though, is it your impression that farms were able to, excuse the pun, to weather this, that they're sufficiently resilient, or were there many people getting into difficulty because of the weather?
No, I think farmers did, from a financial perspective, weathered it very well. They came into the year with good cash buffers, with low overdraft facility utilisation rates. But what the toll that it took on farmers was more from a mental and confidence perspective and their actual stress levels. And that took a really that gave farmers a real knock to their confidence in terms of investment ability and plans for the future. And I think we're going to live with that for another few months.
Maybe not just another few months, though, because the science is talking to us about the increased probability of many more years like 2023, 2024, weather-wise. Donal, what view is AIB taking about its confidence in farming to continue as it has done on the basis of changed weather patterns?
Yes, Philip, and when we are meeting our farmers and in AIB, we have a team of dedicated agri advisors whose day-to-day job is meeting and understanding about what's happening in farming. And we're certainly having more conversations with our customers in relation to the ESG considerations on that farm. And we very much take it on a case-by-case basis. ESG and what's happening and the implications of ESG is very much looked at and looked at in the context of the overall proposition of a farmer, I suppose. Our agri team are very much of the view that we want to do the right thing by our customer. Obviously, we want to do the right thing by the bank, but also by the customer, and make sure that any proposal that is sustainable for the customer, but also sustainable for the bank.
But that's the key word here, isn't it? Sustainability, because you know, banks are sufficiently risk averse that you're not going to keep on throwing good money after bad where a business is not going to be recoverable or sustainable.
Yeah, and we take the view, Philip, that we don't look at 1 year in isolation. I think if you look at the last 2 or 3 years, there was a relatively good 2022 for the farming sector, and that created good cash buffers, which has helped the cash flow situation in 2023. So you don't look at 1 year in isolation. And again, we encourage our farmers to take a long-term or a medium-term view of their operation.
Owen, what view has Bank of Ireland taken of this? Because 2018, 2023, you know, these are no longer outlier years. They're going to have to be thought of as more and more likely.
Yeah, and I suppose we've conducted a significant project of work around the future risks that are facing farmers into the coming years. I suppose one of the key findings of that report was that the climate is changing. And I think farmers know that. They can feel it. They're working in an environment and in the weather and in nature on a daily basis. And they're seeing that playing out on their farms. So the changing weather patterns that we all talk about on a day-to-day basis. It is happening, and it is going to happen more and more. And the science is backing up that we're going to see more weather events, be they increased drought periods or increased periods of...
Does it reduce Bank of Ireland's confidence in farming as a risk?
So I suppose as part of the assessment, if we're talking to our customers around any loan product that they're taking out, we build in assessments to account for future risks and current risks that are in place. We're very confident about the future of this sector, albeit there will be new risks. There always have been different risks coming to the sector. Those factors will be taken into account in the assessment of any loan.
Trace, have you anything you want to add on that weather piece? Were you seeing people in difficulties? I mean, I know you said that they come to you for a different reason.
You know, it would be very... It's not necessarily that they come to us for a different reason, but I think they come to us in addition to the banks. You know, Owen mentioned working capital. So it is very similar. In terms of weather, and all of what Owen has said there is very true. And to the piece that farmers really are agile. In the same way that, you know, Bank of Ireland, the AIB, credit unions, the way that we're constantly reviewing our business and how we do business. Farmers are, yes, it is a way of life, but they are business people and they are savvy business people, and they will work with the changing conditions, be they regulatory environment or the environment itself. And we are seeing that.
What impact, Donal, is lack of certainty over the derogation having on your business and your enthusiasm for giving people loans until there is greater certainty?
And certainty and is the one word that we're hearing from our customers, and the lack of certainty in relation to their plans going forward. And it's also bringing a degree of nervousness to our customers, because it is very difficult.
Well, I'm not asking about your customers, I'm asking about you.
Yeah, and it's very difficult for a farmer to invest long term when they don't know what parameters they're going to be farming under. Certainly, we're taking it into account, I suppose. We don't know what's going to happen post 2026. And again, to do the right thing by our customers, it's only right to have that conversation about what the potential
impact.
So
what are you doing? Are you advising people to hold off? I mean, are you having at a base level conversations along the lines of, what's the point in putting in a million gallon slurry tank if you're going to be forced to destock in 18 months from now?
And we're having those conversations, and we're looking at, if the derogation isn't extended, what would the impact be on your farm? For example, the average derogation, according to the department, the average farmer in a derogation is roughly farming 67 hectares and about 150 livestock units. And if that derogation isn't extended for that farm, it would result in increased costs for them.
That's really interesting to me, because it means that you are having plan A and plan B conversations where nobody else is. Everybody else is just ruling out the possibility of there being no derogation, but you're already planning as if there might not be one.
And we have to do that, because it's a potential, obviously, like the rest of the industry and like the farmers that we speak to. We want, or we would like to see, the derogation extended. Farmers need time, as your previous contributor just alluded to. They need time for the practices and the management practices that they're undertaking on farm to show the benefit that it's having on water quality. Okay.
Owen, is the same thing happening inside Bank of Ireland?
I think we have to, when we look at the nitrates derogation, I suppose it has emerged as a key risk to the sector, no different than the climate piece that we just spoke on. And I suppose whatever happens, farmers need to take that into consideration when they're planning for their business. I suppose our advice to customers is, first of all, you need to adopt best practice, whatever that ends up being in the future and what it is today. And farmers need to examine their own business. And then what would a plan look like if the derogation was not there? And I suppose it's up to how policy changes and evolves over time to determine whether that nitrates derogation was there.
Can I borrow into the detail of that a little bit more, please? Does that mean that if there was somebody coming to you for a loan right now, would they be more likely to get that loan if they were already farming at 170 kilos of nitrates per hectare than if they were struggling to get from 250 to 220?
That is, I suppose, every loan is assessed on its own merits. So it's a case-by-case analysis. We look at a range of factors. We put from a financial metrics of a farm, be it the technical KPIs of that farm, the yield per cow, the stocking rate, I suppose. But what we are considering more and more is the environmental considerations in that farm, including the stocking rates, the slurry capacity of those farms, and importantly, I think, the person and the the farmer themselves. That is a key factor going forward in how we're assessing loans. What is the work-life balance of that farmer, and what is the succession plan of that farm? So it's a combined assessment that we do on the farms, not just a single metric.
Oh, it's always multifactorial, isn't it? It's never just the one simple thing. Therese, is that happening with your business as well? I mean, if somebody comes to you looking for a loan to buy extra land in order to make themselves nitrates compliant, are you inclined to say at the moment, no, let's just hold off, let the hair sit for a while yet?
Yeah, well, I have to be honest, if you come to Cavan Credit Union to buy land, we're not currently doing that. As you said, it's a cultivate loan, it's 75,000 unsecured.
There's not many acres you'd buy for 75 grand right now, is there?
But there are credit unions, or neighbouring credit union, North Midlands, are lending for farming. And, you know, I suppose it goes back to that agility point, to forward planning and that. And yes, whereas the banks and the credit unions are doing it, the farmers are as well. So like when they're coming into you with their plans for the future, they've thought about all this as well. You know, they're not, it's not on a wing and a prayer that they're planning forward or planning to grow or that. So it is about factoring in. We will factor in all of those considerations and future planning, as are the farmers themselves.
One of the interesting stories that has emerged from a number of different farms in the course of the last while, Donal, has been people saying that they have received advice from their banks that they are going to be better equipped to pay down their debt if they remain in conventional intensive farming and don't go into organic like they had been contemplating. Is that advice that you find yourselves issuing frequently?
I don't agree with that, Philip. I think from a banking perspective, there's no one or right or wrong system. I think when we look at a proposal, and again, we have a dedicated agri advisor team that are there to walk the farm and sit down with farmers and look at what's the best thing for their farm. And there is no right or wrong system. And I think,
but there are more profitable systems. There are systems with greater turnover, and organic might not be one of them.
There is, of course, but I come back to the saying, like, turnover is for vanity, but profit is for sanity. So we look at repayment capacity. It's the repayment capacity is the number one consideration, irrespective of what operation that you have on your farm.
Owen?
I believe we need a diversified agri sector in Ireland. And we have that right now. We bank in Bank of Ireland 82,000 customers. The majority of those are in the beef sector. We have a tillage sector and a dairy sector as well. Alongside, we support pig and poultry and horticulture farming people. So we need that. We need to retain that. And if some of those people in that sector go to organic, that is that is perfectly fine.
All right. Owen Lowry, Head of Agri Sector, Bank of Ireland, Donal Welton from AIB, and Therese Conway of Cavan Credit Union. Thank you all very much for coming in.